You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Start of the 9 o'clock hour, hour number 3. And we appreciate you guys joining us. If you did not hear the Rafael Stone interview in its entirety, you can catch it on ESPN 97.5.com. And go to the podcast page, and you'll see his entire interview we had with him yesterday, about 20 minutes, with the Rockets general manager about Jalen Green and all things Houston Rockets with the draft and also Summer League. Jalen Green is out, looks like, for the rest of Summer League. Tweaked the hamstring. Rockets not going to take any chances. They'll get an MRI on it, but no reason to take any chances. He put in his work, relatively short-lived, shot 10 of 19 from three. That's something that I'm very excited about. Having a guy who has the scoring potential off the dribble but can also shoot from three, really, really excited about that. The Astros are back after yesterday. They were off yesterday. They're back today, and they are going to be – you've got Zach Greinke on the mound for the Astros. You know, it is a one-and-a-half-game lead right now over the Oakland A's. These guys have been such hecklers all season. Right when you think, no matter how good you're playing, the A's, you were having a hard time shaking the A's. Then you built a lead of, I don't know, 4.5 games. I think it went over that at one point. I kind of stopped paying attention to the A's. You know, I feel like the Astros are going to win the division. And at one point, I just thought, okay, this is it. It's fine. No more issues. Now they've won 7 in a row. You are not playing great baseball. I think you're 3-4 in your games in August so far. They're only 1.5 games back, Dale.
Yeah, I was going to declare the race over. We remember the Astros were up 5.5 games on the A's, and with the chance to extend it to 6.5. I think they lost the final game of the series to make it a 4.5 game lead, and the A's have slowly, you know, stayed in the race. And even recently, the Astros before this recent downturn, particularly the start of the homestand where they lost three out of four to the Twins, leading up to that 5.5. Back and forth between 4.5, 5.5, 4, but the Astros always had a comfortable, let's say, series plus lead distance. Like if they entered the series against the A's, they would still leave the series with what they lead in the division, even if they got swept or something. But that has changed because the A's are doing things the Astros won't do. First of all, beating all comers, at least, and then beating up on bad teams. The A's recently have taken out the teams they're supposed to take out while the Astros have scuffled. We felt good coming off the road trip because, you know, you take 2 or 3 from the Mariners. Yes, you lose 2 or 3 to the Giants, but then you split the series against the Dodgers. So you come back, tough road series, even. Okay, there's a chance to maybe take the road series
well,
as a whole.
Even because you only win 1 of 4 against the Twins.
No, I mean before coming into this one. The road trip. The road trip, they're supposed to be so tough. They probably could have taken one more against the Giants, but you leave that road trip going, okay, it wasn't a complete disaster despite the level of competition, and you come home and you think, okay, let's take a breath. We got this. But that's the problem. They take a breath, and it doesn't help that the lineups weren't great, the greatest, when you got, you know, oh, look, Taylor Jones is getting multiple games with multiple at-bats. That's comforting.
Yeah, I mean, you do look.
The lineup has had issues.
I will say, yeah, I mean, you have Carlos Correa out, you have Bregman out, you have Yuli out. Yeah, that's not optimal. Granted, that's not optimal. I still feel like you went into the Twin Series thinking you're going to extend leads, and that certainly didn't happen. So you're 1.5 games up because, frankly, you didn't handle your business against the Twins. And they hit the ball on you. You didn't get consistent pitching from your starting pitchers either.
And just look at the series coming up. You mentioned the Angels, who aren't good, but they're better than the Rangers, who the A's face. Look, honestly, we could come back on Monday and you guys get to discuss it. I won't be here for it. And think, Astros are in second place.
I mean, it's possible.
Yeah,
I certainly don't think it's likely, but it's certainly possible.
The way the A's are bashing teams, why wouldn't I expect them to take out the Rangers and win all three?
True, but the Astros have a tendency to play well
against
on
the
road.
And they play well. But it's the Angels, and they're not good, which means
they typically play to the level of their competition. They need to get their guys back in the lineup. You got to get hitters back. I know that you're going to have to get Yuli back and Carlos, you know, staying fully healthy. I mean, you have Correa miss some time, but Correa, you're going to have Carlos playing. But getting Yuli back is going to be a big deal for them.
And to your point, it is unlikely because I think the math works out. Now we're actually doing math that they'd have it'd have to be two sweeps because the Astros enter with the game and a half lead, right?
Yeah.
So for that to occur, well, you go the A's go 3-1, you go 1-2. Would that make it? Because that's a 2-game difference. So you could, but I don't see it. I don't think we'll get that scenario where the Astros only win 1 out of 3, and then the A's take out the Rangers. But the way things have gone, it ain't out of the realm of possibility.
The way that they're playing versus the way that their A's are playing, it is a possibility, and there is going to be some panic if the A's. Modest amount of panic.
Yeah,
I don't think it's crazy. It won't be crazy. I still think the Astros are going to win the division. But I had written the A's off. I thought they were done. But you need to get your players healthy. Look, this is Spurs mode for the Rockets for the Astros. Let's face it. All they should really be worried about is you do want to position yourself well in terms of having home field advantage. But right now, this is just about making sure that you're at your optimal place headed into the playoffs. Whether it's your starting pitching, your hitters, your hitting, they've already said Bregman, it's a case of they want to extend it so his timing gets better. They don't have to rush Bregman. They don't have to rush Yuli or they can be very careful with how they handle their pitching staff and Urquidy and everything as long as they are healthy and right and clicking by the postseason. Those are the most important things right now because getting there is great, but what you do there is how the Astros are measured. This isn't the A's get there and it's fun times. Great, we made it to the playoffs. This is about, a chance to win. You have limited amount of windows potentially to win World Series, and this is one of your chances. So that's why you have to give yourself the best chance, and that means giving yourself the best chance to be healthy. And that's why the Astros are not going to rush. They're not going to rush any players that are coming back. They're going to want to make sure they get back to 100%. Let's break it right here. I told you John Wall was trending. We'll tell you exactly why. I will read the post on Twitter that created the John Wall is trending situation on Twitter. Honestly, he's one of the fastest trending sports personalities on Twitter right now. It can't be for a good reason. You're right. It's not. 914 here on the bench. 713-780-3776. You can also check us out at DelV2. Or you can go to @LanceZerline. Right now, I want to tell you about Houston Can Academy. They are the group that is benefiting from carsforkids.org. Carsforkids.org, what is that company? That company is a company that will come and take your car, haul your car off, or your SUV, or your truck, or your motorcycle. Whether it's running or not is irrelevant to them. They'll take it, and they use that to help fund the program for Houston Can Academy, and they are giving young people a second chance at a diploma, which is great. You got a chance to help someone out. You get a tax write-off when you go through Cars for Kids. You go to carsforkids.org, you get your tax write-off, and you can write off the car and not the kid, and they make it super easy. They do the title search and transfer. Literally, the only thing you're doing is going to the website, learning more information, contacting them and getting them to come pick up your vehicle. Once again, whether it's running or not is irrelevant. They will come pick it up for you, and then you get that tax write-off. Couldn't have made it easier. It's so easy. There's no reason not to take advantage of it. Carsforkids.org.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
A Tribe Called Quest.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
You can. Yes, you can.
919. I had somebody on Twitch say, don't give out the phone number. You're just not going to take calls anyway. No, we absolutely will take calls. People just don't call as often on sports talk radio anymore, I've noticed. Now, there's certain cities in Chicago and New York where it's very caller-driven, but in Houston, it's really been this way for more than a decade now. And I think social media has changed that a lot, where people can reach out and get their comments through on social media. And I'll give you an example, just a couple of them. We had this one. Now that Jalen Green has hamstring issues, does this mean Alex Bregman can no longer use the CP3 center for hamstrings?
I was going to say, I hope they have more than one of those special devices that Patrick Fertitta is going to give to Bregman, because Jalen Green needs one too. We got another soft tissue guy here.
Yeah, boy, I will admit, the first time I heard, oh, his hamstrings, I'm like, huh. Will Fuller here, you got Alex Bregman. Like, I don't need a soft tissue guy popping up this early in his career. We don't need that to be the case. That did make me a little tiny, tiny bit confused. Now, I get to John Wall. I told you John Wall was trending. And let me find the John Wall trend, because Twitter tried to switch it up on me like it's not a big deal now. But it's still a really, really big deal for a lot of people, because they're making fun of John Wall. Here it is, John Wall, trending in the NBA. So I saw John Wall trending, and I'm like, oh, buyout. So the Rockets got rid of John Wall.
Oh, look at that. Good news.
Not a buyout. NBA Central, at the NBA Central, put out a simple post. It says, highest paid NBA players next season. It's got 15,200 likes already. This is last night when they put it out. 1,241 quote tweets, 1,895 retweets. And I'm like, well, what is this John Wall information that's so important? Why is he trending? Here's why. He's going to be the number two highest paid player along with James Harden. Now, let me just read the top four in this list and see if you recognize anything here. It starts with Steph Curry. Okay. 45.7 million. Then it goes John Wall, 44.3. James Harden, 44.3. Russell Westbrook, 44.2. Some Rockets that were on that list. And Russell Westbrook's 44.2 got traded for John Wall's 44.3. The only difference is Russell Westbrook is still a guy who produces triple doubles. Not only does he play basketball on a regular basis, he also gets points, rebounds, and assists. Now, I'm not talking about how he shoots threes. That's irrelevant. We don't want to talk about that.
That's not good for Russell.
But he's a guy who's hitting triple-doubles on a regular basis. John Wall doesn't really play basketball that often.
No, and for the Rockets last year, you kind of didn't want him to. And that's the problem. Teams, at least the Lakers do, still want Russell Westbrook to play basketball. John Wall, realistically, as for the Rockets and their success going forward, shouldn't be playing basketball for them. And that's why, if there was a way to move him, I think they would. But I don't know how you move that contract. But then we said the same thing about Paul and Westbrook being unmovable, and the Rockets got off him because they had, at least in Westbrook's case, gave up, or at least Paul's case, gave up assets for him. John Wall's in a weird spot, because he is still an NBA player that can provide value, but the money that you're paying him makes him a bad contract, and he's not a good enough player to propel you anywhere. So what do you do with him? Because
what can you do with him?
Why would you want him playing ahead of Porter and Jalen Green and even Josh Christopher? Why would you want him to, Eric Gordon falls into that category a little, but because of the contract, it's less unmovable. Well, you got two veterans who aren't just going to be happy to sit back and have their minutes reduced because you have three young guys you want to see. Eric Gordon seems infinitely more movable, but I think you got to try to get off of both of them. They're progress stoppers.
You think Eric Gordon to me has value?
Because Eric Gordon can be used in trades by other teams who acquire him to make a larger deal happen, because his contract is at a point where that he could be the big piece in a trade in terms of the money, while you're adding assets and maybe young players to get the deal done to make it attractive to a team if you're looking to acquire a star. John Wall, I don't know what you do with him.
It is astonishing. If I ask, okay, if you're listening right now, ask yourself, I don't want you to look this up. How old is John Wall? I'm going to ask that question right now. How old is John Wall? Ask yourself that question and give an answer. I'm about to tell you what the answer is. How old do you think he is? Okay? He's 30 freaking 1 years old right now.
He'll be 31 in September, so yeah.
Oh, wait, he's 30 now?
He'll be 31 in September. Well, about less than a month away.
John Wall seems like he's 46.
I agree.
Thanks, Trey.
Appreciate it, Trey.
John Wall signed a 4-year, $171 million deal. And the first year of it, he was hurt, 2019-20. Last year, 2020-2021, he went to the Rockets. And really, you know, it was really ineffective. Really ineffective. This upcoming year, 2021-2022, he is set to make 44.3, and then the year after, he's going to make $47 million. When we talk about buying out John Wall, look how much money is still owed. And what do you do with him? If he's going to be negative, you don't want anyone to be negative on a young team. Like, you want him. You also don't want to build. You're not building a team around him. He's an afterthought. You had to make salaries work, and the only team that you could get to bite on Russell Westbrook's salary was a team that had a player with a worse salary. And Russell Westbrook actually plays and performs well. John Wall, the Rockets are on the hook now starting this year. Just for this year, they're on the hook for almost $92 million. What do you do with them?
Yeah.
If you buy them out, what do? You give them full. You say, look, we'll let you go now and try to catch on somewhere else. We'll give you, what, $60 million?
And people talk about buying him out. That's something John Wall has to agree to. And how much of a discount would you get? And you would have to try to sell him on, hey, you're not going to play here. There are places where you could actually play, but we can't trade you because of your deal. So, hey, we'll buy you out. But how much is John Wall going to give up of $90 million over the next two seasons? Because Blake Griffin got bought out with whatever he had left of his deal last year. Plus, he had another year left, so much like John Wall does. And apparently, Blake Griffin gave back 13-point-something million to get out of it. He wanted out of Detroit because it's not a place he signed to. Remember, he was like months after the Clippers wanted to make him their focal point and had this whole presentation about keeping him. He got locked in long-term, then they traded him to Detroit. So obviously, lack of loyalty goes both ways. How much is John Wall going to give back for a buyout?
You know, John Wall still averaged right at 7 assists and 20.6 points a game for the Rockets. Now, he played in 40 games last year. The year before, he didn't play any in 2019. And in 2018, he played 32. In 2017, he played 41. This is now 17, 18, 19, 20, four straight years where he's failed to get to 42 games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's criminal. And you look at really it's been like that from when he came into the league. He's never been, only three times in his career, I'm sorry, he had a four-year run, 2013, 14, 15, 16, where he played 77 games or more, which is good. And that's it. And now you're on the hook for a deal that is 100% fully guaranteed. You can't get any of it back. And best case scenario, you can hope to buy him out and give him maybe, what, $70 million up front of the 92?
Yeah.
If he's even willing to take that.
And
you're right. He might be willing to just sit on a bad team and just collect money.
And you'll, if he did agree to a buyout, it doesn't free you from the cap. So, like, for example, Blake Griffin, he gave back about 13 over 2 years. So instead of the Pistons having him, I'll go to 20.
It's all cash. There's no. Yeah, you mentioned. So if they bought him out, you still are on. Cap is still going to hit you.
You're on the hook for some of it, not all of it. For example, 2021, this upcoming year, Blake Griffin's original cap figure was 38.9. It is now 29.7 for the Pistons because he gave back 9 for this year so he can get out of that deal. So say John Wall is giving. Let's say John Wall does the same thing. Yeah, I'll give you some of that was prorated because of 2020. Remember the buyout was later in the year, so we'll see how it works. So let's say John Wall says, all right, I'll give back $20 million to get out of here because there's a team I want to go to. You're still talking, and say it's split over 2 years, you're still talking about 34 plus a year on your cap.
Mm-hmm.
So it saves you a bit, but how much? I think it just means you don't have to worry about playing in minutes. If that might be enough for the Rockets to say, hey, Tillman says I'll eat the 40 plus or whatever. You'll stay on my cap for 30 plus the next couple of years, but at least we get you out of the way so we can play our guys.
I guess when it's all said and done, John Wall can still perform. It's just, you know, it's not going to be every game. Is there somebody who's going to be willing to add him, you know, that would John Wall can't want to stay. I assume he wants to win. I assume, unless it's only about his paycheck and he doesn't care about winning at all, which I don't know, you know, maybe it's possible. He hasn't won anything. I mean, he's very little winning during his career, relatively speaking. So if someone was willing to take him on as a low-cost player with a chance to win, maybe he would be willing to take a buyout.
Yeah.
Just to get out of Houston and have a chance to join a team. Like, you know, we say the Lakers just because they take on the old guys. But maybe there's a team that would be willing to add what John Wall brings to the table.
Yeah, you're a now we always talk – now the big thing in the NBA right now is tampering. They're investigating the Bulls and the Heat for their deals. I imagine there would be tampering involved while John Wall's still under contract, and the Rockets probably wouldn't care if his agent had reached out to teams and said, hey, if we get something done here, is there a spot for him? And not just a spot, are there minutes available for him? Because miraculously, John Wall would have a spot ready for him minutes after the buyout with the Rockets, but the NBA wouldn't care so much about that. So I think the Rockets would be, yeah. And John Wall would probably, if they would be would feel good about it, if they told him, hey, you're probably not going to play here very much, what deal can we come to so we can remove you from the situation and let you go play someplace else while getting the bulk of your money?
Yeah, we'll see. It's interesting that one of the things that I care most about is getting rid of a player who's dead weight just so it clears the way for the younger players to get as many minutes as they can, because that's the best way to grow, I think, is to play and get through, you know, experience difficulties, experience successes, even if they're small successes, and move forward that way. Don't, you know, John Wall was never going to be a factor in Houston, and sure enough, he's probably going to be less of a factor than we ever even thought. Your Houston Texans, finally, the team that you've been waiting for so long, is finally going to be in action this Saturday.
Who's waiting
against the Green
for them?
Bay Packers? Most of Houston.
Okay.
They're like, this season cannot get started quick enough. And you get your first preseason look. I want to spotlight a couple of position battles and give you some thoughts on who to watch and how to watch them coming up, especially rookie Nico Collins. I'll give you a little breakdown on what I saw from Nico Collins through the draft and how he might help the Houston Texans this year and how he might be misused, because I think there is a very specific way you need to use him. So we'll get into that here coming up on the other side in about 2 minutes. It's 9:33 right now. I want to tell you about Texas Custom Patios. They have the ability to build outdoor kitchens for you, outdoor fire pits. They build outdoor living spaces where, you know, you just go out there, get on your patio furniture and watch your games. They've installed multiple TVs at home so that you have multiple games to watch when it comes to football season. You got four different games on there. They build the speakers into the ceiling so that he's got an AV guy that comes out, and that's where I've got my own speakers and my own setup where I can control all the different sounds and all the different channels I'm watching, whether I'm on DirecTV or whether I'm on, you know, a Fire Stick or an Apple TV. They set it up for you. Smart TVs actually are what they install, the big screen smart TVs. It's just such a great place to hang out when the weather is nice, and the weather is going to start cooling down before you know it. The evening yesterday was a great night to be out on the patio, and having your own outdoor living space, outdoor kitchen, it really brings you not only happiness and joy, but it adds a ton of value to your home as well. You're going to get dollar for dollar value back on what you spend on a patio from Texas Custom Patios. Go see the before and after of my backyard at tcplance.com, and you'll get a sense of what they're going to be able to do for you. TexasCustomPatios.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 9:38 here on. And I told you, when you call, we get you on. It's that simple. Wish Dell goodbye. Okay. You mean you wish Dell was gone?
I do.
Or he wants to wish Dell goodbye.
I know.
By the way, is there any trade? Do you have an update on anyone bringing food to us so that they can come?
Quentin said he'll bring us all honey butter chicken biscuits.
That's fine. I don't, you know, it could be Chick-fil-A breakfast. You'd like that, right?
Sure.
On your last day in the morning?
Yeah.
A Chick-fil-A biscuit?
I would. Spicy
breakfast
chicken.
Spicy chicken biscuit?
Sure. Well,
do they make that for breakfast, though?
Yeah, but breakfast is over, I think. Oh, actually, you got about an hour. Take
yeah.
that back.
So
yeah,
if you guys want to come see the studio.
It's 9:30.
Yeah, I corrected myself, Trey.
We're not in California, Dale.
Yeah, it'd be 7:39 at the time. Yeah, I corrected myself. Thank you.
Yeah. If you guys want to hug Dell, you can come up here and hug him if you bring us food. And you can say goodbye to him and give him a little hug.
I wouldn't advise that, but sure, bring us food.
Dell gave me a hug one time.
When did I give you a hug?
Ooh,
we were at
it,
Nick's
Trey.
Place.
When did you hug him?
I don't remember.
We were at Nick's Place. You were like, Merry Christmas, buddy. And he like gave me a side hug.
I don't say buddy.
What's a side hug?
It's like on the side. Like when a girl doesn't really like you,
oh,
she gives
like,
you a side hug.
That's not really a...
Yeah, it's a side hug.
That's not really a hug.
You're hip to hip. Side hug.
Yeah, that's not really a hug.
Guys, if you ever
get... You want to get to Tommy?
If you ever... Yeah, sure. If you ever get that hug, guys, she don't like you.
So really, that's real. If you get it from a girl, that's she's little brothering.
She doesn't look... She's not interested. What's up, Tommy?
Good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted to wish Dale bad wishes. I mean, best wishes on his new schedule. I know now he gets to sleep in a little longer with Granny, and he gets to supply the pipe a little longer. But, you know, best wishes. And to tell the truth, I was hoping today's show would have been a road show, and I was hoping you guys would have done it from Home Depot, you know, to wish Dale off. But, hey, anyway, Dale, good luck. You'll be missed. And for old time's sake, bye, bitch.
Tommy dropped a lot of inside stuff. For people who haven't heard me tell that story, I'll give it to you one more time. He mentioned Home Depot. My dad, when I was a kid, pretended like he was going to take my brother to Home Depot. Actually, he did take him to Home Depot. And while he was – no, let me break it down.
This one is all-time favorite
story. He had a friend take my brother to Home Depot while my dad was packing up all his stuff. And when my brother got back, my brother's stuff was packed, and then they took him to the airport to send him back to New Jersey. I think he wound up in Nigeria at some point because my brother was – he didn't take to all the freedom that America provided him well.
Meaning what?
Like, you know, he got into issues at school.
Oh, he took too many liberties.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, he had an incident where he got grazed by a BB gun pellet. I think my dad had to not – he think he got – I don't know what happened, but my dad had to go to the local police station for something. He did not adjust to American culture very well in terms of the ability to kind of almost do whatever you'd like as opposed to what he was used to. So that happened back when I was a little kid. So that's the reference.
So your dad tricked your brother into thinking he was going to Home Depot and ended up in Nigeria.
That's how
we tell it.
I realize I've told that story incorrectly, or at least you've told it. You've co-opted the story. He actually did go to Home Depot, but it was a diversion while my dad could pack up all the stuff.
These are the only stories you could get with Dell, and now Dell is dead.
No. Well, no. He's not dead.
No, I'm dead to the show. Actually, I'm not even dead to the show, but because I will come on occasionally to talk college football.
That's, yeah.
So I'm not officially dead.
And he's going to guest produce whenever Aaron is out.
I am not.
He's requested that.
I don't know. I think I've already – they've pegged – you can't take my job from me.
I don't want that job. I don't want to work from 7 to 3. Is that what the schedule would be?
So here is another question for you. Can you tell the story about Las Vegas and your dad? Another one of my all-time favorites.
Sure. My dad used to have a little Toyota red truck, and it had the big flatbed. It only sat two people comfortably because it was stick shift. I guess you could fit a third in there with no seatbelt if you wanted to be dangerous in the middle. So what he used to do before he realized the joys of a hotel, what he would do, we would drive out on a early Saturday morning, as you would do from California, We get there, spend the whole day doing stuff. Mostly it was about me. He didn't really gamble, so it was a trip specifically for me to do stuff in Vegas. That was at the time when Vegas was transitioning from an adult place, but for stuff for kids. So we would get there, do stuff all day, and at night, instead of, you know, having a hotel waiting for us to hang out, just sleep for the night, he would drive around the circus parking lot until he was sure security had done their rounds for the night and weren't going to do any more. He would just park there, and we would sleep in the truck. Now, I was like 9 or 10. I didn't know any better. It wasn't that big of a deal, but it became a thing once because we were still in that truck, and we went to the Thomas and Mack Center. This was a time when UNLV, they weren't in the middle of their glory days. They're coming off of it, but so there's still some interest in the program. So we went there. Thomas and Mack Center is where they play their games, where the Rockets are playing.
That's a nice stadium.
Where the Rockets are playing in Summer League right now, along with Cox Pavilion. So we went to the team store, and I'm going to get a basketball from UNLV. And he goes, go get the small one. I was like, I don't want the small one. I want a regular size basketball.
I had to come sleep in a truck, in a car. And I want my stuff. Wait, what kind of car was it?
It's a flatbed little Toyota truck.
But were you sleeping in the flatbed?
No, we were sleeping inside the cab.
She was in a flatbed.
No, he didn't put a mattress back there for us to sleep in. So, so you wrenching the truck.
Yeah.
He took issue with me getting the normal size basketball because it would cut down on my leg room, and we had to sleep. So he goes, "Why would you get the big basketball when it's gonna affect how you sleep?"
It's going to take up your sleep space.
Your leg room when you're trying to get comfortable. Older me would have been like, well, why don't you just get a hotel room and we don't have to worry about this. But at 11, I'm pushing back and going, no, just give me the ball. I'm just getting the basketball. I don't want a mini basketball. So that's how that played out.
Who's that? Eric? Let me bring in.
That's probably Eric Wong.
So let's get Eric in here. He's saying, don't you dare bring that music down, Trey. Don't you dare.
I hit Kelly on accident.
Eric,
I'm talking to Kelly.
Eric, what's going on?
Just put Kelly on hold. Because his radio is still on.
Let's get Eric. Eric wants to say goodbye to Dell. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Dell. It's a sad day in Houston. I can't believe you're leaving for Miami. We're going to miss you, big guy.
Yeah.
And the girls are going to miss your weak tea as well.
What happened?
You're not original, Eric.
I miss you, brother.
That's what I say to
Trump
you.
Trump 2020. I love you.
He said Trump 2020.
You're not crying, Eric.
Once again.
Why did he hit you with the weak tea?
Because
you hit him with that
I
all the
time.
I
say that all the time because the only way he can keep the women in his life entertained is by letting them call in and troll the show. So I say, it's obviously because he's got weak D, so he's got to do other things to compensate. But hey, you want to call the radio show? And they're like, sure, that's fun because I'm unsatisfied with you.
Wow. Let's get LJ in here. Is it LJ?
Yes.
He wants to say goodbye to Dell. LJ?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? Double Rock.
I
just want to say, whoever's decision this is to let Dell go, if it's Gal, the station manager, program director, Emo Carrot, Top Trey, Trash Ass Lance, Dark Meat Granado, whoever's decision it is, you're a hog swallower and you could shove it up.
Hey, whoa.
I don't even make decisions around here.
Oh, way to go, Trey. But you already just said about
you? Called you a hog swallower.
Nice going.
Once again, despite the narrative, I'm not being let go.
Rest in peace, Dell.
You're not going to Miami?
Dell's going on a 1560 vacation.
I've actually been put on one of those before. Actually, that's happened to me for about a year and a half. Now, I'm no longer on the bench, but I will be part of the station going forward.
So quick question. Can you tell people about when you found letters in a box of letters from your dad? Can you tell that story too?
Sure.
Another one of all time.
We're playing the hits.
Let's go ahead and combine these breaks.
Yeah, we combine the breaks because these are some great stories.
Okay, let me play the hits. My dad retired years ago. When we moved here from California, I was just getting out of high school, so I lived at home, and initially I was just, you know, normal progression. I was going to live at home in college. I wasn't going away. I was going to University of Houston Clear Lake so I could just stay at home and go to school. And then he says, you know what? I'm going to retire in a couple of years. I'm going to move out to Nigeria, so this can be your place. I was like, okay, that's great. Don't have to worry about finding a place to live. So he left the house to me. Not that he's dead, but he's you know, retired in another country. So I lived there, and I'm cleaning out some of his stuff. Okay, so got to try to make this place my own. I'm looking for – I'm just trying to clean some stuff out of one
of the rooms.
Yeah, I'm not –
You're snooping through his personal effects.
I wasn't snooping. I was trying to figure out what I could and couldn't throw away because he's a, almost like a hoarder with some of his stuff. So I'm trying to figure out what can go away and what has to stay. So I'm going through one of these giant boxes in an extra room, and I'm digging through it to see what can be thrown away. And I look in, and I find – first I find a letter that I admittedly did open, and then I also found mail order bride catalogs. Legit from like the late 80s, early 90s.
How do you know it was a mail – what did it look like?
Because they said all the women from like the Ukraine and
what
Russia.
What does it look like, a mail order bride catalog? So it's not a – that's not a fake thing. That's a real thing.
You remember East Bay?
Yeah.
For shoes or
– Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the same thing except it's women.
So it's a catalog for women.
Exactly what it sounds like. It's a with their names, their ages, what they're interested in.
Astros play 3 this weekend. Sports. Okay, so I got the sports quota. So
I see the mail order bride catalog, and some context. My dad during Christmas time would always go to Russia, and I'm like, why the hell is a Nigerian immigrant heading to Russia for Christmas? And I'm a kid. Why are you learning Russian? Why are you going to Russia? I'm not putting it together. I'm just like, okay, well, maybe he's a world traveler. It all clicked that day when I saw the mail order bride catalogs and the letter. A letter that spoke to him saying he couldn't move or really bring her over because he had a son that he needed to take care
of.
Yeah, me. It wasn't my
brother.
You
stopped what could have been an amazing love affair.
Why, Dell?
Because I was 9.
You
it's not
stopped
my fault.
Your dad from happiness.
From falling in love.
I didn't stop him from anything.
And a Russian woman from falling in love with your dad.
When you're 9, that's when you're supposed to be out of the house, right?
Sure. Yeah, because if we've learned anything from those, 60 Day Fiancé shows, the Russian woman is really in love with the American, not just trying to get over here, and, you know, for a potentially better life. So I see the letter, and it all clicks. The Christmases in Russia, the learning of Russian. Hey, Dad, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to Russia for Christmas.
I'm doing Christmas in Russia this year. Wait, what? Where are you going?
These were on back-to-back years, and I didn't know what he was doing, and now it all came together. And I actually did throw away the mail order bride catalogs.
You didn't keep one for yourself, Dell?
No, they were at the time 20 years old.
Well,
no.
That, you have like still? Older
Can we
women?
See them? Huh? You still have them?
I said I threw
you
them have away. Them. I threw them away.
You totally you have throw it away.
They're
you have them.
You totally
so
have
what?
Them.
He has
Trey,
them,
I'm
Trey.
Not like you. I don't keep Playboys under
Bring
my bed.
Bring the mail order and let us call and see if we can get Trey hooked
that is,
up.
The numbers
yeah,
don't work.
Yeah, for real. I like older women.
How do you know the numbers don't work?
Because they're 20 years old. Why do the numbers still work?
How do you know?
I never
you
called.
You called one.
No, I didn't actually.
You *67 and then
did.
You called.
The numbers... the.
Wasn't it different in California?
And by the way, the catalogs are like now 30 years old
it's
or
like
something.
Like *69
I don't know
over there.
I don't know what that is, but they're old even at the time, and now they're older still.
Who do you want to get to? We got some callers we want to say bye to Dell. Who do we bring up, Trey? Who do you think?
Let's go to Nico.
That's probably Mito, but...
Okay, Mito. Oh, he's one of your enemies.
Hey. What's up, Mito?
Yeah, man. So I remember one time we met Dell at the ESPN listener party, and... we ran up on him, me and my chick, and I was like, "What's up, Dell?" And all Dell said was, "What's up, Mito?" And walked smooth off, then dabbed me up for nothing. Then my ex chick was like, "Damn, he's kind of an a hole." I was like, "Nah, babe, you know Dell's lived kind of a hard life. That's just how he is." So, you know, shout out to my boy Dell, whoever made the decision to break up the team.
No,
he
stay
tuned.
Oh, hold on, hey,
all he did was throw some shade. That's all.
Okay.
He's allowed.
I thought when I was gone, I heard some ugly things were said. We just heard ugly things said.
Well, someone got called a leader of a really once vibrant hate group.
I remember that.
That's not a.
You remember
Dell's
that when
literally going to a different show.
Dell,
he and I are going to be talking literally all the time
I
and having
not.
Fun together.
Dell, you remember
eating
that
lunch together?
What?
Like when they said when the White Magic called?
Yeah,
yes,
I remember.
Stop, Trey. I wasn't here, and I don't want to be here for it. You know what? Let's let you practice for your show coming up called The Portal. His new
like
college football
one,
show,
actually.
The Portal. I know, as Art had that one. So Kelly wants to talk college football. Let's get Kelly in here. What's up, Kelly?
I want to start off and say, all right, get ready to just say goodbye to Dale because I heard he's leaving.
Yep.
But the question that I have is, since J.R. Smith is now going to be playing college golf, since LeBron James came the same route he did to the NBA, so after LeBron's finished with basketball, is it okay for him to go and play football in college?
As long as, yes.
Ohio State, yes, if he wanted to. Now, you have to pull it down because this is real college football talk now, Dale. I mean, Trey. He technically could go play college football.
He could. He has not made any money playing the sport of football. So he could go play college football if he so chose. Now, the NCAA is still...
Is this the first time somebody's... No, I mean, we talked about LeBron College, but because of J.R. Smith... So Kelly just brought up a question based on J.R. Smith going to golf. He's going to go play golf at North Carolina A&T.
Yeah.
We know LeBron is a huge Ohio State fan. He grew up in Ohio. Do you think this will be the next question that starts popping up on the talking head sports talk shows? Do you think LeBron will even bring it up just to tease people at all playing college? He's in his 30s. Of course, J.R. Smith is in his 30s.
He now lives in L.A., so it's a little different. I don't know if he wants to show up at a USC game. Yeah. But if he shows up at a college football game, it'll be a topic of conversation the next day. Because remember...
Shows up? You mean as a fan?
Yeah.
Why would it be a topic?
Because it'll spark the thought. Like, I'm surprised it hasn't been brought up before. But if LeBron James shows up... Because remember, he would show up at Ohio State games. I think he showed up at an Ohio State Michigan game with his Cavs teammates. So I think if he ever shows up at another college football game, people will like, well... J.R. Smith is back in his former teammates back in school, and particularly if J.R. Smith actually gets the golf thing off the ground.
But here's the thing,
it'll become a topic, not a real one.
Here's why I don't think it's ever going to happen. Like LeBron, it would be. I would 100% watch if he played at UCLA or USC. If he went and played a year at tight end, I would 100% watch that. I think it would be very intriguing if he did it right now. The thing is, he's waiting for his son to come to the league. Everyone knows he's waiting for his son to come to the league so he can play basketball with Bronny. Now, they got to be on the same team, so I don't know how that's going to, you know, how that's going to happen or if that will happen. But by the time that he's done playing basketball, which might be 3 years, I mean, we're talking LeBron would not, he's not at that age and with the wear and tear. He might play a game.
No, he's not.
He might play a game in college football, but that would still be a massive underdog.
He's
that
not
ever
going to. No actual real program is going to suit up LeBron James.
You do know. I wrote this article years ago in the Z Report. If LeBron, which was an old Houston Chronicle, shout out to Fred who put me on in the Chronicle at the time. If LeBron had played football, he 100%, or maybe I wrote it on Sports Map, would have been an all-pro. I truly believe that
Jimmy Graham played high school football, but he played a year at Miami and became a pro bowler.
Pro bowler. Julius Peppers was a basketball player. Now, he was a pass rusher, but I 100% think that LeBron James, with his speed, agility, strength, size, unless he was just super soft, which I don't think he is super soft as a football player, and I'm projecting because some of those guys – you know, get on the football field and it's a whole different thing. But Mo Alie-Cox, Antonio Gates,
Eric, who's another Colts tight end who played Eric Swope,
Eric Ebron,
Eric Swope,
Eric Swope played.
Eric Swope.
All he did was play college basketball.
They got Demetrius Harris, who was with the Kansas City Chiefs, like
Antonio Gates.
Yeah, I mentioned Gates. So we're talking about a guy who was a bigger, better athlete than these guys. I just get the feeling LeBron would be tough enough to play tight end in the slot. Now I definitely think he's strong enough. I think he'd be tough enough. And I think LeBron James, had he played any football, would have been an all-pro. Not just a pro bowler, an all-pro.
And he played high school football. I don't know if he ever played.
My dad saw him.
He played as
when
a junior?
My dad was
when
with the Cleveland
playing?
Browns. He stopped playing his junior season. Maybe sophomore season, but Butch Davis and my dad both. My dad was with Butch Davis at Cleveland Browns. They went and saw, I think it was 2001, actually. Because when did he come in the league? 3?
Yeah, the 03 draft.
So I think it was maybe 1. My dad got to Cleveland in 2001. It was either 1 or 2, 01 or 02, where they went and saw LeBron James play wide receiver in high school. Because it was just one of the most talked about players, obviously, in the nation, and they were right there in Ohio. And so he went and saw him, and he was like, that dude was legitimate. Like, he was a legitimate wide receiver talent, but no one even thought about it because you already knew he was going to go play basketball. But that'd be really fun to watch him play a couple games as a college football player. I think it'd be really cool to see him as an NFL player. Like, how would he do against grown-ass men if he were a slot tight end? As a matter of fact, LeBron wouldn't go back and play college. If he played, he would go out there with the Rams and be on a roster to go play a game with the Rams or to suit up in a camp one year and go through a camp. Or maybe Chargers. There's just
maybe he'd go play for Cleveland. Who knows? If Tebow can get a spot, but that's because of Urban Meyer. I guess LeBron can get a training camp invite.
You don't have any doubt that he can make a team, do you?
At 30 what? Now?
Yeah.
At 36?
Yeah. 36.
Yes, I have some doubts.
What are your doubts?
I have some doubts. You think
like what doubts do you have? Is he physical?
You think 36-year-old LeBron James is going to make a
What do you see in him that you think he's physically not capable of doing something?
I don't, because 36-year-old tight ends don't exist unless you're Jason Witten.
What do you see? But LeBron James's don't exist either. People don't look like that
I don't know if he can block.
Yeah, I ain't asking on the block.
I don't know.
If you know who else couldn't block?
Can
really?
He run routes?
Tony Gonzalez wasn't much of a blocker. True. Antonio Gates didn't block a lot.
Can LeBron, and look, LeBron.
Can he run routes? Does he have the ability to?
Is he still fast enough to play tight end?
How fast do you have to be?
Don't you want to be at least 4'7"?
Hell yeah, he's fast.
You
enough
think
to
he's
play
still 4'7"?
I think he can get separation. And I don't think it matters because he's big enough to body and create space. And look at his catch radius. It's ridiculous.
You still have to be coordinated enough to catch.
You think that's a problem?
I haven't seen him play football since high school.
You've seen him catch. Does he have good hands in basketball?
But there's a difference when you got a helmet on and pads on than being that dude.
Yeah, no question.
Why are you sucking me into an ESPN conversation? Damn it.
Yeah, we got to go to break.
I don't care about that so much. We don't care about breaks here.
I forgot about that.
Who was it again who called in?
Kelly.
Why you let Kelly suck us into a this
amazing
or that
stuff
or first take conversation?
You won't
LeBron.
Get that anywhere else.
You're not going to get that anywhere else, Del.
I hate you even more now.
You're not going to get that. It's the new concept for the Killer Bees.
We had a dumb show. We had a dumb show going with that music and people saying goodbye.
You didn't like it?
No, I like it. I like the dumb show stuff. We're playing music. I'm going to Miami. I'm going to die. I'm no longer working here.
Rest in peace.
And then you have to bring in this stupid first take crap about LeBron James playing tight end. You suck me into it. Stupid.
You're welcome.
I feel like
we'll finish this conversation up on the other side. As it appears as though I'm winning.
I feel like
handily.
No, he's not. He would stink.
You know that's
he
wrong.
Would only make a
gun to your head. Your answer
he
totally
only would
different.
Make a roster because of his name.
Gun to your head. You're not
LeBron
saying that.
LeBron would not be better than the third string tight end on any team right now. He would make it because of his name, not because of his level of talent.
Let me tell you about my friends over at SiteJab. Okay, this is what we're talking about now. We're talking about a company that builds websites. And what do? They build them from the ground floor up. Now, if you've already got your site and you say it's a couple years old and you want to just have them take a look at it and see what changes, maybe they'll love the design. Maybe they'll love the video integration you have. Maybe they love the fact that you have a great About Us page that tells the information to the reader. And they'll be very upfront with you about that. But here's the most important thing. When you are with SiteJab, they will find all the elements that are issues and problems with your website, and they correct them. And even if that means they have to build it from the ground floor up, they will do that. They also have e-commerce available for you. So they can start putting e-commerce on your site so that people can, people can buy your product right then and right there. They love your product, and you convince them on your website. You got a chance to buy right there, point of service, on the website with SiteJab, putting that all together for you. They're much more than just a website designer. They have a full suite of products to really help bolster your small to medium-sized business. So go to the website, SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com. That's SiteJab.com.
ESPN 97.5.